Luke chapter 14, reading verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Chapter 2 of the same gospel, please. Verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. I want to contrast an expression in chapter 14 from one in chapter 2. The message in heaven, yet there is room. And it would make me ashamed of humanity when a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. No room for them in the inn. Chapter 14, as one listened to the Savior, he was made to acclaim, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom. He was made to think the blessedness that it'll be to have a place in that kingdom. I want you to know we enjoy salvation. When my brother was speaking, it recalled an incident I had. One night I shared a meeting with one of the best friends I ever had. 48 years of age. And he referred to the expression of the apostle in Philippians chapter 1. He said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. There was a tug at his heart. And said, my friend, which is far better. Better than what, he said? Better than anything. And he quoted, we speak of the land of the blessed. That country so bright and so fair, and after its glories confessed. But what must it be to be there? Lunchtime the following day, I got a phone call. My friend was there. He was anticipating the night before what it would be to be with Christ. And he was enjoying the thought. Before 24 hours, he was experiencing the reality. Blessed. Friend, I want to say, I wouldn't like you to miss a place in that coming kingdom. And to illustrate the extent to which heaven has gone to give you a place in the kingdom, he told this parable. I think just now of the words of the apostle in 2 Corinthians. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And said the Savior, a certain man, he made a great supper. Your Bible never uses extravagant language. But will you notice in the Hebrew epistle, when your Bible speaks about salvation, it speaks about so great salvation. When our parable speaks about the provision that God has made to give you a place in the kingdom, it's a great supper. Don't treat a gospel meeting lightly. Don't treat the matter of salvation lightly in heaven's estimation, friend. It's great. The price was tremendous. When the Savior told a parable of one that took his journey into a far country, he's given us a parable to illustrate one that is living his life at a distance from God. It's no supper, you know, it's no feast. Said Christ, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he's using language to emphasize the emptiness of a life without Christ. And we sing, oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope, no refuge nigh. How can you, oh, careless sinner, dare to live or dare to die? The emptiness of a life without Christ. It's a mighty famine. And in that parable, I read that the prodigal, as we call him, he came to himself. We have been hearing that no man will appreciate salvation until he faces the reality of his lost condition. He had been living a life of fantasy. The far country promised him something it never gave him. And he sat down to face reality. And he says, I perish with hunger. You know, the jailer in Philippi, he asked the most important question that any man could face. For trembling in the presence of the preachers, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the most controversial question you could ask in the religious world. They said, God sent preachers were one in the answer. And every preacher that God has sent is in harmony with this answer. To a trembling, awakened sinner that said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Man, put your trust in Christ, and salvation will be your happy portion. Said the prodigal, what must I do to be lost? Well, sir, just stay where you are. And before he came to the Father in repentance, he came to himself with a realization, stay as I am, I'll perish. But here is a great supper. And the servant was sent. There's another parable that's very akin to this one. In Matthew's Gospel 22, and you'll notice there the Savior said, it's not only a feast, but it's a marriage feast. Something rich about that, you know. You young men starting off married life, you'll not get a 5-course lunch every day, you know. Something special about a marriage feast. No, said the Savior, that will not do. It's a marriage feast for a king's son. It's something that can never be excelled, the riches of the provision that God has made for perishing sinners. Here it's servant singular. It's one sent by God into this world. It's a message, friend, that comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what's the invitation that comes in the power of the Holy Spirit and with all the authority of heaven to a perishing sinner? You're getting a message from God tonight. There was a left-handed man went into the king one day. And he used language that a gospel preacher can use. For said the left-handed man to the preacher, to the king, I have a message from God unto thee. We get help from God tonight, friend. Life will never be the same for you again. This is an invitation that comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how could I know a place in that coming kingdom? Will you pay attention to the invitation, friend? It comes from heaven itself. It comes with all the authority of heaven's throne. It comes in the Spirit's power. Will you respond tonight? How could you know the blessedness of the knowledge of sins forgiven? I endorse what my brother had said. What can equal joy divine? Or what can sweeter be than knowing that the soul is safe for all eternity? How could you enjoy it? Listen to the invitation come. For all things are now ready. Presently, friend. You could come and enjoy the assurance of salvation. As far as heaven is concerned, there's not a barrier to hinder your salvation tonight. We sing, when the Savior said, 'tis finished. Everything was fully done. Done as God Himself would have it. Christ the victory fully won. Said the apostle, the message of the gospel. Mind you, friend, it's a solemn thing to stand here. For said he, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Mind you're serious. If the consultant makes a mistake, friend, and your life's in the balance, but this is for eternity, friend, I dare not alter the gospel of God. And he said, it's how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose the third day, according to the scriptures. Friend, it tells of a full provision made in the death of Christ, and it was for our sins, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood, and from our hearts we say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh, it was a great provision, friend. But everything's provided in Christ. Charlotte Elliot was one that had difficulty just grasping how she could make salvation her own. You know, we preach most sympathetically, friend. A friend counseled her, Charlotte, come to Christ. She says, how can I come? His answer was, just come as you are. And she later penned, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. The invitation, friend. If we'd read the whole parable, one man had a greater interest in his stock. Something keeping you back from Christ, friend, if you're not saved. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, do you gain the whole world for your own? Have you counted the cost? One man had greater interest in his stock, another in his possessions, and another in the matter of matrimony. The servant returned. You know, there's those in South America, and there's those in Africa will be waiting to hear how the conference at Lurgan went. They'll be wanting a report. I want to tell you, they'll be getting a report in heaven, you know. That young man heard that so great was his need that God gave his son to die and bear the judgment that was his due. And how did he respond? Oh, friend, don't grieve the heart of God by turning down such matchless grace. But I want you to notice, yet there is room. You know, I'm surprised I'm preaching the gospel in 2004. This golden age of grace, when this invitation goes out to the whosoever, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Man, salvation's offered to you tonight, provided at such tremendous cost, offered to you as the free gift of God. It's the longest age the world has ever known. And Peter lets us into the secret. Mind you, this world is ready for divine intervention. God will intervene in this world. He hasn't relinquished his claim, but says Peter, he's long suffering usward, not willing that any should perish. Yet there's room. You could be saved tonight, friend. We dare not say you could be saved tomorrow. But all things are now ready. Everything has been provided in the death of Christ to meet your need. And God invites you to come. My time's slipping away with me. I want you to notice the contrast. No room. I say it would make you ashamed of humanity. When there should have been a special care given for angels to announce unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, that their Lord whom they served in his august presence and scenes of glory and those riches that were his, he is stooped as a Savior to mankind. No room was the welcome that he got. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He wouldn't send a multitude away hungry. He was moved with compassion for a man full of leprosy. He never looked upon the needy without a pity in his heart. He wept his tears when he thought of the doom of the ungodly. Oh, no man with a hard heart should preach the gospel. He misrepresents the Savior that we preach. All his miracles for mankind were miracles of blessing. What was the response of men when he came? No room. They said, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. He was a murderer. I must close, but I'm not thinking of Bethlehem just now. No room. I'm not thinking of AD 33. Not this man. I'm thinking of Lurgan tonight. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day, your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? What are you going to do with Christ tonight, friend? For said Christ, no room in this life for Christ. No room in that coming kingdom. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me in this generation, of him shall I be ashamed when I come in the glory of my Father's kingdom. The man that has no room, for you'll notice that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, tell me, would you be prepared to give him his place as Lord in your life? And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Tell me, is it no room? I'm not thinking of Bethlehem just now. I'm not thinking of AD 33. I'm thinking of Lurgan 2004. Yet there is room. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the last conference gathering. For mind you, the day is far spent. And said the Savior, strive to enter in. For many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door. Then shall ye begin to stand without and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. Do you know, before the weekend, there could be those in Northern Ireland realizing the door is closed and I'm left in a dark world and for a dark eternity. There's no time for you to lose. Jesus, love, do not abuse. Heaven or hell, which do you choose? Will you come? Shall we pray?